Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our Advent series on joy. Today our speaker is Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay reader, entitled Joy Sustained Through Costly Obedience. Our readings are taken from Micah 5 verses 2 to 5 and Matthew 1 verses 18 to 25. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of the prophet Micah, starting at the beginning of the fifth chapter, a section headed in the New International Version with the words, "A promised ruler from Bethlehem." Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as Fabian's already introduced, obviously we're in the second week of Advent, another week closer to Christmas, and continuing on the theme of joy. I want to start by talking about Micah. So just to set you a bit of a challenge, what do you know about Micah, I wonder? Well, you may know this verse. I think this is probably the most famous verse in Micah. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Does that ring a bell to some of you? A few nods there. You recognize that verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. So we haven't had that reading this morning, but it's in the book of Micah. So let's continue a little bit more about Micah. So where do we know what, when and where? He was living at the same time as Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea in about 700 BC. So just roughly to round it into the nearest sort of 100 years, 700 BC. He lived in Judah. And again, just to explain, in case you aren't so aware of sort of Bible history, that the tribes of Israel had split about 200 years prior to that. And the tribes of Judah and Benjamin formed a kingdom in the south, and the other 10 tribes of Israel in the north. And the north had a capital of, northern kingdom of Israel had a capital of Samaria, and the southern kingdom a capital of Jerusalem. Now I'm saying all that because Micah was in Judah. He was a hill country farmer. Sometimes it says he was a countryman. It depends which translation you look at. But you think of him as a sort of local farmer, a man of the people. Whereas Isaiah also prophesied, also lived in Judah and prophesied to Jerusalem. Isaiah was more working in the courts. He was more in the sort of city. He was a city person, if you like. And the other two, Amos and Hosea, were both in Israel. They were in the northern tribes. So that just sort of sets the scene that there were these prophets about the same time, but preaching to different areas. But Micah preached to both. Micah prophesied to both those in Judah and in Israel. So his message, the message he received from God, was to both of those kingdoms. Now, if you remember how we've been studying Isaiah during the sort of last few weeks, you'll realize there were difficult times. A lot of things were going on that weren't what God would have liked. So one of the readings that Micah, or one of the statements that Micah makes is the word from God that came through Micah was, "Woe to you who plan iniquity." I quite like the RSV version, which says, "Devise wickedness." So woe to those who devise wickedness, to those who plot evil on their beds. So you can imagine people plotting these things. They're determined to be evil. At morning's light, they carry it out because they have the power to do it. So they're not only plotting things, they're working out how they can do it the next day. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes, and they rob them of their inheritance. So Micah is seeing all this. God is seeing all this. God is inspiring Micah to denounce the people for all these things they're doing. Micah saw this unfair treatment of the poor by the rich and the powerful. They had the power to do these things. And he delivered the message that cruel acts to others are an insult to God. I think that's sort of a good summary, really, of perhaps how we should approach life. That as we see cruel acts being acted upon other people, that they are an insult to God. If we think of all of God's children, God's creation. And so therefore, therefore, says the Lord, so through Micah, therefore, the Lord says, you can probably imagine what the Lord is going to say in his reaction to these things, I am planning disaster against this people, from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. Now, whatever we might think about judgment, different subject, perhaps not for today, but the Lord is saying these things can't carry on. All this iniquity, all this wickedness can't carry on. And what was prophesied was that destruction would come. And so here we have, in those lines there, in 722 BC, in Samaria, see, that's why I couldn't get my graphics to work quite right here. It does actually come up as one. There we go. Got it right now. There we go. I like to get my graphics right. So in 722 BC, Samaria was overrun by the Assyrians. So if you like, this was their judgment that they'd carried out all this wickedness, and God said, destruction will come upon you. Samaria was completely destroyed. And a lot of the people were taken away in exile. We know what sort of happened in those days. People were taken away by troops that have come in to sort of swamp the land with their own their military power, and they take away the individuals. And in a way, Micah continued in his message from God to say, look what's happened to Samaria. The same will happen to you, Jerusalem, if you're not careful. And indeed it did. And in 701 BC, Jerusalem was besieged. Not destroyed, but besieged. And again, the Assyrians were showing their power and showing that they could have done worse, but they didn't. And in a way, that again was a message from God saying, look, you know, all this corruption must come to an end. And indeed, Micah continues to say, but worse will come on Jerusalem, and that's a different story. So Micah was obedient. He was receiving these messages from God. He was obedient, and he spoke out against these things. He spoke out about the corrupt leaders. We've talked about those in terms of how they took people's land and property. He was speaking out against social evils of, and again, in the book of Micah, it talks very much about the liars and the dishonest. People had dishonest scales and weights and measures that they had weren't working correctly. He spoke out against false preachers. Preachers, there's a phrase in Micah which talks about the false preachers who prophesy for you that you will have plenty of wine and beer. Well, who wouldn't want a prophecy like that? But false prophecy. You shouldn't. Don't just run to those who prophesy the things that you want. Listen to the ones who are really telling you what God is saying to you. And again, my little clicker isn't quite working as I'd like it to. There we go. Religious insincerity. And again, from what we've looked at Isaiah over many, many weeks, you know how people weren't being honest to God. They were following rituals. Many people at the time went back to pagan religions. They were worshipping idols. They were offering burnt offerings. This is supposed to represent a sort of burnt sacrifice. So a lot of religious insincerity. And if you know that phrase, that reading we started off with, what shall I come before the Lord? The one where it says that we should act justly, we love mercy, and walk humbly with God. The phrase before the couple of verses before that, it says, with what shall we come before the Lord? Shall I come with burnt offerings? And again, this is recognizing the fact that people have turned away from what God wanted in terms of the type of religion. And we're going back to pagan ways and ways of Old Testament many centuries before religion of God. And God's saying he doesn't want that anymore. He doesn't want burnt offerings. So Micah spoke out against these things, and he obediently prophesied this inescapable judgment. Again, judgment not to be to go into any great depth at the moment, but this business of you should expect that your bad acts will have some consequence. But also a need for reconciliation between the people, between different groups of people, between the rich and the poor, but also reconciliation with God. So a more positive message and a hope for universal peace. In Micah chapter 4, verse 3, he says, he will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. And again, probably familiar words of Micah, also words in Isaiah. But again, Micah is saying, despite all this corruption, all these bad and wicked ways, there is a hope to come. And the hope to come is the coming of a shepherd of God's people. So Micah was obedient in giving these messages to people, but probably found it difficult as a country farmer, someone who's a man of the people, difficult sometimes to stand out and make these messages, proclamations to people. So we had this reading this morning. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, I've explained Judah and Israel as different nations, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now we know of Bethlehem as King David's birthplace, and we know of the city of David, and we know of carols like Once in Royal David's City, and again, we've had mentions of David in what we sang earlier as well. But Ephrathah means fruitful and fertile. Now, the two things to think about there is the fruitfulness and of old. If you remember me standing up here a month ago, we talked about Jesse and the root of Jesse. Out of the root of Jesse, this apparently dead stump will bear fruit. So again, that fruitfulness. And I showed you that slide before. We talked about the tree of Jesse. And the tree of Jesse shows the generations from Jesse. So I should have reminded you, Jesse is the father of David, the King David of Israel. And out of Jesse, this apparently dead stump, comes fruitfulness. And ultimately, there at the top, we have Mary and Jesus. And so of old, Jesus, the shepherd that was to come, is of old, of times in the past, of building on that family history, that going right back through the generations. And that's what Micah is referring to. So fruitful, will bear fruit, and Jesus showing that it's Jesus, descendant of David. So that's all I'm going to say about Micah, other than it's a good read. It's only seven chapters. It's got a nice twist to it in terms of the things that are wrong and the things that are hopeful, the proclamation of Jesus coming, of a shepherd coming, of good times yet to come, despite the fact that at the time and in the history, there was a lot going on in these Assyrians coming in and destruction and doom and despair. So that contrast, seven chapters, I recommend a good read for a rainy afternoon. It's going to be a rainy afternoon. So let's move on to our text from the New Testament. We heard there about, focus particularly on Joseph. Joseph, as we know, a carpenter. We perhaps think more of him as a builder in many respects, because he was building wooden buildings and whatever, so a builder stroke carpenter. And he, as it said in the text, was faithful to the law. Now, I think that's important in the sense that he felt an obligation in terms of his duty to Mary. He felt that because of his understanding of the law, he should effectively divorce or break the engagement or break the betrothal. I would just say at this point, I think it can be misleading when looking at the story of Mary and Joseph to compare our customs of marriage with what they understood at the time, or what their way they celebrated betrothal and marriage and engagement. It's all a bit different in those days. But nonetheless, you can understand the situation that Joseph felt that Mary should not be his wife. So he's warned in this dream, and the crucial words there are, do not be afraid. He had an angel being a messenger from God, a message direct from God. You may feel that you should be faithful to the law, but do not be afraid. Be brave, be courageous to don't do what the law has perhaps told you to do, but do what I'm telling you, what God's telling him through the angel. And so he was obedient. And you can understand it was possibly a difficult decision. Difficult because we don't know how many people knew that Mary was not having his child. We don't know quite how that was understood at the time. We don't know how many people knew that Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but clearly Joseph knew it was not his child, and so a difficult decision for him, and he had to be courageous, he had to be brave. Potentially, he could have been open to ridicule, but people said, why are you keeping with this woman? But he kept with it, and he was obedient, and the outcome was joy. And I'm saying outcome. The subject for today is that joy sustains us through our difficulties. I've said here outcome, but outcome doesn't just be the end result. The outcome be ongoing. You know, maybe he was sustained by joy because he knew he was doing what God required of him. Isn't it always better to feel that we're doing what God wants us to do than rebelling against it? So he had this attitude that he was doing the right thing because God had told him to do this. And then ultimately, we do know the outcome of the birth of Jesus was obviously a joyous occasion. And so hopefully he was sustained through the pregnancy because he knew it from the dream. He was obeying God's word. He was following God's way. And as Fabian said last week, but also this morning, your joy is not just about a painless life. Joy is, in our sense here of understanding how God works in our lives, joy is the triumph of God's presence. And our obedience to follow his ways. So Joseph knew he was doing something special for God. Similarly, just continuing the Christmas story for a while, although we've not had this reading today, similarly for Mary, we know again of her message. Mary was greatly troubled, and the angel again said, Do not be afraid. Again, the same message. Do not be afraid. She was obedient. And we know that she said, I am the Lord's servant. And we'll hear much more of that, I'm sure, as we move towards Easter. Where'd that come from? Move towards Christmas. But we'll hear that story probably time and time again. But again, remember that she was, again, probably nervous, uncomfortable, not out of her comfort zone, if you like. But she said she would be obedient. And again, the outcome was joy. She felt joyous because she knew she was special, that God had spoken to her, the angel had spoken to her. And of course, the joy when Jesus was born. And then finally, just in the Christmas story, well, they're not really Christmas, we're moving on to Epiphany now, but forgive me for that. We mix this up so often, don't we, the kings and the shepherds and whatever. But anyway, the wise men, when they came, in Matthew's Gospel, it says, but you'll recognize these words, but you, Bethlehem, this is Matthew's Gospel, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. An exact copy of Micah's prophecy. Quoting Mike, well, in fact, there's an extra verse there, the shepherd bit, but we've covered that as well. But the shepherd bit is Micah chapter 5, verse 4. And they were warned in a dream. I didn't explain that fully. The wise men came and saw Herod, and when they went to Herod, they said, where is this king of the Jews going to be born? And Herod asked his scribes, and they came back and said this bit. So the scribes are telling the wise men and telling Herod, quoting from Micah. So again, the importance of the Micah prophecy. And we know the wise men went, they found Jesus, but warned in a dream to go by another route. And the important thing is there, for God's plan to succeed, they had to be obedient. They perhaps had other ideas of what they were going to do, but for God's plan to succeed, for Jesus to be born, and for Herod not to overpower by killing all the young boys, warned in a dream to go by another route, God's plan to succeed, they had to be obedient. The outcome, of course, was joy. They were joyous in finding Jesus, and they were joyous that they could take the message of Jesus back to wherever they came from. So what about our obedience to God? How can we be obedient? What does the Lord require of us? Obviously, we've had this act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. They may not be easy. It may at times be difficult to stand up for what is just. It may require courage. We may face opposition and ridicule. Again, think of Joseph. He could have been ridiculed for keeping on with Mary. How can we be obedient? We can follow God's ways of doing those things, but it may be costly to us. And we're reminded, like Joseph and Mary, to not be afraid. They were both said, do not be afraid. And joy comes, the outcome we'd expect of joy, joy comes by being in step with God, being in step with God's plan. God gives us messages in different ways, whether through reading the Bible, whether through quiet times of being inspired by the Holy Spirit, maybe by other people nudging us and saying, well, this is what we should be doing. You know, we can find out so much about the sort of types of activities that God expects for us to be just, to love mercy, to walk humbly. And surely joy comes from being part of God's plan. May not always realize exactly what we're to do in the long term, but step by step, we can follow God's ways. And we're empowered by righteousness. Righteousness is what happens when God's way of doing things breaks into our world. When it disrupts our priorities, because we realize that God's ways are not our ways. And being part of God's way is much better. It often requires courage to step out of our comfort zones. Maybe we face uncertainty. Maybe we feel the risk of rejection, that we're going against the social norms. But every act of obedience is an act of trust. And it declares that God's way is better, even when it feels costly. We've been studying Isaiah for weeks up to coming up to Advent. So to quote from Isaiah chapter 41, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. this confidence that God is with us. Whatever he is asking us to do, he'll be with us. He'll guide us as we follow his ways. And Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. So whatever we may do, we may feel persecuted, we may feel it's costly to our own sort of livelihoods or our respect, our standing in community or whatever else, if we are persecuted, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Words from Jesus. And then words from Paul. As Paul spoke to the early church, wrote to the early church, the church in Philippi, be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ. And the full section, full text there is, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight. Now, to me, that's knowledge and depth of insight of how we live, how we follow God's ways, how we follow his path. That you may discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with righteousness, the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I believe the fruit of righteousness is the observable outcomes of a righteous life, of seen in the actions that we take to follow God's ways. It's the evidence of God's work in our lives, our honesty, our kindness, our love, our peace. Yes, being acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God, however we may like to interpret those things. And the reason I've chosen these three texts here is it shows that this is a constant theme throughout history, just as relevant today as it was in Isaiah's day 900 years ago, just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Did I say 100? 9,000 years ago. No, I was right, 900. I'm confused. 2,700. I get the years worked out now. 2,700 years ago was Isaiah. 2,000 years ago, Matthew. 1,000 years ago, Christ and the New Testament. 2,000 years ago. Just as relevant today is what I'm trying to say, that we should be obedient to God's ways, just as Isaiah was saying that God will be with us and help us, and Jesus said we'll be blessed and live in the kingdom of God. So Christmas we think of as a time of giving. What are we to give? We can follow God's ways. We perhaps can give to causes that are working for justice and the injustices in the world, to challenge injustice. Faced with in terms of the corruption and the injustice of the powerful aim. There's still much in the world, just the same, that we need to challenge as we walk with God and be obedient in his ways. So let us pray. Father, give us courage, we pray, to obey you even when it feels risky. Remind us constantly that you are with us and that your ways are good. And so strengthen our hearts to trust in your ways. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.